What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there's no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer, and the question I got today is, who got screwed? In addition to that, I will have a March Madness roundtable with the King and Schwei. I'll let the King explain. The Schwei, a.k.a. Jimmy Schweitzer. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But I'll have the King explain. Yes, the King is back. He's taking over my show, bringing another stranger on. But I'm sure it was a good one. So I'll let the King explain later in the video. So who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
So back to the original question, who got screwed? Of course, I'm talking about who got snubbed, who was left out of March Madness, who should have been in but wasn't. I guess the answer to the who got screwed question is pretty obvious. It's West Virginia and or Indiana. So basically what happened is on Selection Sunday, we found out that the last team in was UNC, North Carolina. Shout out Stu Dahlman. He told me a couple weeks ago they'd be in the tournament. But to the dismay of many, North Carolina is in the tournament, and it's started a lot of conspiracy theories, but it's not, I don't really call it a conspiracy theory because it's just connecting two dots. It's just going from A to B. The head of the selection committee also happens to be, coincidentally, happens to be the athletic director at North Carolina. Now, of course, he knew people were going to, you know, make that connection immediately. So on CBS, you know, he got up there, they talked to him, and they said, obviously, you're the, you know, AD at North Carolina. What was the, how did you put them in, you know, if, you know, that doesn't seem fair. And he said, yeah, I'm the head of selection committee, but every single time we talked about North Carolina, I left the room. I recused myself from the North Carolina discussions. No one cares whether you were there or not. Clearly, you had some influence, and clearly, North Carolina did not deserve to get in. They had one of the worst losses of any of the at-large teams. They lost to Stanford, and they went like 1-12 in quad one. Stanford, I think, was a quad three loss. To be honest, I don't know too much about what the quads are, but all I know is Indiana is a team that beat Michigan State, definitely a quad one team. That's a top 10 team, a two seed in the tournament. And West Virginia, they beat Kansas and a lot of other good Big 12 teams. So people are calling the NCAA rigged after seeing North Carolina's inclusion here. The West Virginia governor even chimed in. He called West Virginia's exclusion a, quote, miscarriage of justice and robbery at the highest level, end quote. I can't disagree with the governor there. It's the most blatant case of homerism ever. Of course, your athletic director is going to want his athletic program in the NCAA tournament, the big dance, March Madness. They'll be in a play-in game. But they don't deserve to be. They shouldn't be. And they screwed West Virginia. And yeah, that's all I can say about that. Let's get into some NFL news with my next question. Who got paid? Two Bengals got paid. They're trying to get a third paid right now with Trey Hendrickson. And they need to based on how that defense performed last year. But their offense is, you know, solidified for the future. They have extended both of their star wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. T. Higgins signs a four-year, $115 million extension. Ja'Marr Chase signs a four-year, $161 million extension. Chase obviously deserved $40 million a year. It's funny that that's Daniel Jones' same contract, 4 years for 160. But Chase is the best receiver in the league. He definitely deserves it. T. Higgins is another guy who's, you know, fringe top 10, definitely a top 20 receiver. He gets his $114 million deal. You know, probably not as mad about the franchise tag anymore after they finally paid him. I always thought that would kind of be a little awkward. You got to pay both of them and, you know, you have to give Chase another $50 million, but I think they understand, you know, Chase was the triple crown winner. You know, T. Higgins wanted to get paid, but at the same time understood that he also has the best receiver in the league on his team. So I'm liking what the Bengals are doing. You know, they were one win away from making the playoffs this year. And they've shored up their offense for the future. Like I said, they're going to try to nail down Trey Hendrickson, but if they can work on that defense, that's a scary team. If they can work on not losing every single, you know, September and October game like they have the past however many years, they are going to be a dangerous team. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be right there with the Ravens contending to win the division. Or, you know, maybe I'll pick the Steelers when Aaron Rodgers goes there. Surprised that news hasn't dropped yet, but we'll see what happens with Rodgers. But yeah, great moves for the Bengals there. Another guy who got paid was Derek Stingley Jr. The Texans are signing him to an extension. The all-pro cornerback agreed to a three-year, $90 million extension, including $89 million guaranteed. That I don't understand that part. Why guarantee $89 million? Just guarantee the whole contract. But at $30 million a year, Derek Stingley is now the highest paid defensive back in NFL history. Well deserved for Derek Stingley. I don't, maybe not as well deserved as Ja'Marr Chase. I wouldn't necessarily say Derek Stingley's the best cornerback in the league. You know, I think that title belongs to Pat Surtain. But I think what's smart about what the Texans and Bengals are doing is you get those extensions done early before free agency, and you'll end up saving more money over time. These contracts always go up and up and up. It'll be insane to see what Brock Purdy ends up getting paid. He'll probably be the highest paid seventh round pick of all time when the 49ers go ahead and extend him. Speaking of extensions, one more for you. Five-time All-Pro tackle Lane Johnson. He actually reworked his contract. Apparently, that adds another $8 million over the next 2 years, but an additional $30 million in guarantees. He's 35 years old, but he'll make $48 million over the next 2 years, including $40 million guaranteed. He added basically 1 year at $25 million, but obviously well-deserved. I believe he's, what, a two-time Super Bowl champ? He won one with Jalen Hurts. I think he was on that team with Foles as well. Hall of Famer Lane Johnson, well deserved, and he got paid for it. Keeping in the theme of free agency, my next question is, who's on the move? I'll tell you who: Natasha Cloud. And I know what many of you are thinking: who's Natasha Cloud? I'm thinking the same thing. I'll be honest, I don't know Natasha Cloud, but I've said on, you know, past episodes, I want to keep up with the WNBA. So any big move that happens in the WNBA, I'm going to go over it, try to get, you know, Natasha Cloud's name in my brain. But she's been traded from the Connecticut Sun to the New York Liberty in exchange for two first round picks. Now, I said I hadn't heard of Natasha Cloud, but I know her name now, and I know she's pretty damn good because they traded two first-round picks for her. You know, granted, you're not going to get Juju Watkins with one of those picks. I think you need the number one overall. I don't know who has that. Maybe probably the Seattle Storm. Seattle Storm are so terrible. But yeah, Natasha Cloud going to the WNBA champions, New York Liberty. So big move there. Who else is on the move? We have Jordan Mason on the move. This was kind of a sneaky, really good move for the Vikings because, you know, at one point, maybe 5 to 8 games into the year, Jordan Mason led the NFL in rushing yards. So the Vikings are going to trade a 6th-round pick. There will also be a pick swap involved for Jordan Mason. Niners just keep shipping everybody out. Although I should say they re-signed Kyle Juszczyk, great fullback. I mean, you're going to need him when McCaffrey, you know, is recovering from the Madden curse and whatever injury he sustained this year. But I like that trade for the Vikings. Aaron Jones, one of my favorite players ever. Tough to still say that now that he's on the Vikings, as I am wearing a Packer jersey. But smart move to get Jordan Mason. Aaron Jones has been banged up very frequently, especially these past couple years. So Jordan Mason, one of the best backups in the league, in my opinion. And yeah, he'll be a nice 1-2 punch with Aaron Jones. I think if they get a quarterback, that Vikings team is still scary. I'm still on the Rodgers to Minnesota train, but as I stated last week, Antonio Brown already reported that Rodgers is a Steeler. So Vikings are gonna have to look elsewhere at quarterback. Last guy on the move is Mekhi Becton. The Chargers are signing him. Another great offensive lineman from the Eagles, you know, not quite as good as Mr. $25 million extension, Lane Johnson. But, you know, he was on the best offensive line in football. He won a Super Bowl. Chargers continue to build to that O-line. I'll be honest, I've been a little bit of a Najee Harris hater, despite the fact that he was on my, you know, my fantasy football team, despite the fact he has four straight 1,000-yard seasons. I've been a little bit of a hater, but I think he might prove the haters wrong, because Chargers and Jim Harbaugh love to run the football. They got Mekhi Becton now. Najee Harris will be their presumed starter. I don't know what will happen with J.K. Dobbins. Maybe it'll be Dobbins. We'll see. It'll probably be a three-headed monster. That'll probably be what Jim Harbaugh ends up going with. Other NFL questions for y'all is, can Cooper Kupp still play? This was the biggest move between, you know, now and my previous podcast, but Cooper Kupp is now a Seattle Seahawk. He was released by the Rams, and he signs a 3-year, $45 million deal with the Seahawks. Do I think he can still play? Yes. Do I think Sam Darnold can still play? Kind of. Do I think it's going to be a great team? No, I do not. I think Darnold, I love Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I love Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp's a Hall of Famer, but not quite Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson. Jefferson, I would put at number two in the NFL, second best behind Ja'Marr Chase in terms of wide receivers. Cooper Kupp's better player than Jordan Addison, but Jordan Addison's faster. So, you know, this style of play, you know, you don't have Kevin O'Connell, one of the best coaches in the league in Seattle. So I like the move for the Seahawks. I didn't like the Geno move. I like the move, but I'm not confident in Sam Darnold. Sue me. He shit the bed in his last two games of the year, the biggest game of the year, right before the playoffs and in the playoffs. So yeah, Kupp can still play. Darnold, I don't know. I don't know, but yeah, big move there for the Seahawks. Let's get to my last question of my portion of the show. Who got fired? That would be two guys. That would be Fran McCaffrey and Kyle Neptune. Iowa fires McCaffrey after 15 seasons. I think my dad will be very sad because he thinks he's one of the worst coaches ever. One of the longer tenured coaches. But yeah, he will no longer be with Iowa after they failed to make the NCAA tournament this year. That's probably a long time coming. I wonder how many Iowa fans were rooting for that. It was still kind of weird to me that Fran had his sons on the team, but I guess they were pretty good. But yeah, Iowa fans, I think, are happy. I don't know. It's weird to lose a guy you've had for a decade and a half. Villanova fans are definitely happy. They fired Kyle Neptune after three seasons. Didn't make the tournament this season. Not the best season. Not Villanova. Not blue blood basketball. So I'm sure the Nova fans are happy about that move there. Only other piece of news I wanted to get to was De'Aaron Fox. He has a season-ending pinky surgery. Kind of funny. I don't know. I don't like surgery. No one likes that. That's not fun. You know, I had wrist surgery. It you know, it hurt. You know, you have a screw in there. But to end your season because of a pinky injury, just, you know, I don't know. It sounds more trivial than it is, but I don't know. I think Fox probably could have played through the injury, but, you know, when Wembanyama's out for the year, you know, and they're kind of fringe play-in team, they're like, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe let's miss the playoffs. Maybe see if that 2% chance we have in the lottery, maybe we can get Cooper Flagg. I keep seeing this tweet, this recurring tweet of you know, Spurs fans saying, please just bless us just this once with a picture of Cooper Flagg. It's like, bless you just this once. You just got Wembanyama. You got David Robinson. You got Tim Duncan. Some of the best number one overall picks of all time. Spurs do not deserve Cooper Flagg, but De'Aaron Fox, I think that's my pinky conspiracy there, is he's getting surgery so they have a better chance at Cooper Flagg. A big three with De'Aaron Fox, Wemby, and Cooper Flagg. I mean, who's beaten them? Let's get to our segments. First segment is, as always, First Year Interruption. Today, we will be interrupted by J.B. Bickerstaff. Bickerstaff is the head coach of the Detroit Pistons, and he had some choice words after they lost to the Thunder in a game that I didn't watch, but evidently was filled with horrible officiating and probably a bit of favoring the presumptive MVP SGA. So yeah, I'm just gonna let JB take it away. This is JB right after the post game, in which the game was not officiated well, according to him, but I'll let you hear from him. Here's First Your Interruption with JB Bickerstaff.
Coach, what do you say to you guys after a game like this?
I'm extremely proud of the way they continue to compete. I'm disgusted by the way that game was officiated. The level of disrespect was above and beyond. They have a guy fall down and trip on his own teammate's foot. They review us for a hostile act. They throw an elbow to our chest, neck area. I ask for him, at least take a look at it, right? Just show us the respect to take a look at it, okay? No one would take a look at it, okay? The disrespect has gone far enough. And I'm not going to allow our guys to be treated the way that they were treated tonight. Okay, I tried to have a conversation with official. The official was arguing with Mark. I say his name one time, and he screams at me and tells me that's enough. Right? We understand that we play a style of ball that's physical. It's on the edge. Right? I coach my ass off with a passionate way. I'm into the games. Our players are into the games. We understand that. Right? But we deserve a level of respect, because we're competing our tails off and bringing something positive to this league, right? We're growing young players. Our young players are competing their tail off. The least that they could do is get the same respect that everybody else in this league gets and get refereed the same way that everybody else in this league gets reffed. And enough is enough of it. And what you saw tonight was disgusting. It was a disgusting display of disrespect towards our guys and what we're trying to do.
Disgusting. All-time rant there from JB Bickerstaff. That may be one of my favorite first-year interruptions of all time. That you can't, there's nothing even to say for this one. I always try to have some commentary back, but JB Bickerstaff said it all. There's been a lot of allegations this year about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander being a free throw merchant, right? I don't know if I've called him a free throw merchant. I probably have on the show. I say a lot of stuff and forget about it. But that's the most indirect way for JB Bickerstaff to call SGA a free throw merchant. Now, like I said, I didn't watch the game, but they played the Thunder. So I imagine that was a lot to do with it. You know, the Pistons are a physical team, good defensive team. I think they're a sleeper to win a series or two come playoff time. But love it from JB Bickerstaff, you know, just crumpling up his notes, he threw a ball of paper, a ball of notes so hard at a microphone that you could audibly hear it, you know, the microphone peaked and he just walks out. They asked him one question. He said, what do you even say to your guys after a game like that? And Bickerstaff went off. I don't know if he got fined. I'm assuming he did. But just an all-time rant from JB. Love it there. The Pistons are a fun team to watch, and JB Bickerstaff just made me an even bigger. I'm not a Pistons fan. I'm a Lakers fan, but I like what they're doing in Detroit. They are speed running a rebuild, and it's been very impressive. But yeah, thank you, JB. That was beautiful. Let's get to our interview, our first ever roundtable. I'm calling it the King's March Madness Roundtable with Jim Schweitzer, or the March Madness Roundtable with the King and Schwei, a take on the King and I guess. I'll have the King explain. But yeah, thanks so much, guys, for pulling up. I know we had some fun talking basketball. So here they are, the King and Schwei. Now pulling up to the pod, back by popular demand. It's the leader in the clubhouse now for podcast appearances with 5 appearances. It is the King. King, how are you doing? And give me an introduction. This is your March Madness roundtable, and you got to introduce me to your friend here.
Matt, first off, thank you for having me back, and I am honored to be the poll sitter.
You passed up Goose. You and Goose were tied, okay. But you're the leader in the clubhouse now.
It's yesterday's news. No, I'm kidding. But I want to introduce you to somebody. When this time of year comes around, We go to the Joe Lenardis, we go to the Jay Billises, and we go to the Jimmy Schweitzers. These are the guys that know college basketball. And I will tell you, while I'm great at it, these are the men that are experts that take it to a higher level. They help us, they educate, they let us know all about who what the trends are, what's going on, and who to look for in these tournaments. Because we can't necessarily make these matchups and in our heads. You know,
yeah.
It's a great time of year. I love it. And without further ado, I'm going to throw it over and introduce you to the Jimmy Schweitzer, known in our circles as the Schwei. And when we get together, it's the King and Schwei.
Right.
Thanks, DK. Put me in a nice group there with Jay Billis. Not sure I'd class myself like an expert like him, but happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, Jim, what's your origin story? How did you become a college basketball expert?
Yeah. expert, maybe addict is the better term for me. But sure. I've loved the game for a very long time, and I think it kind of stems from a number of different reasons. Number one, I think, is in this sport, every single game matters, whether it's the first game in November that you're playing or it's the conference tournaments in March. It all is playing towards what your seed can be in the big tournament that we're going to see here later this week. And on the other side of it, I would say it's an imperfect game, which is something I really enjoy. In the NBA, when a guy's open, he makes a shot. In college basketball, they're going to make mistakes. Guys will miss open shots. They'll have mental errors. They'll throw the ball away. And I think that's the key to all the madness that we expect this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get into it. The March Madness, Selection Sunday was yesterday. So we got all our brackets. I'm assuming you all probably filled in your bracket hastily, you know, to prepare for this podcast, but let's start off with who got selected, who got snubbed in your opinion, Jim. And I want to get into kind of who the head of the selection committee is there and, you know, whether there's a conspiracy afoot.
Yeah. The big storyline is definitely not who got snubbed, but who got in, I think. There's one specific team that I thought got left out and was well-deserving. It was West Virginia. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's saying that, but they probably had a resume that was good enough to get in. I think the harder part to listen to was the reasons they were given for not making it. One of those being that their player Tucker DeVries he's hurt. He's not going to play, but he's been out since December, early December.
so they, terrible.
they hold it against West Virginia. And then Memphis, their point guard Tyrese Hunter was in a walking boot on the bench in the conference tournament. And it seemed to affect them not at all. So questions there, but the team that really sticks out to me is West Virginia.
I want to jump in there. The team that sticks out to me is North Carolina. They didn't belong anywhere near that tournament.
Yeah, he's saying West Virginia.
They belonged in, and they were the number one team that should have been in. North Carolina didn't belong anywhere near that tournament. Their resume was ridiculous. And I mean, I know they play a tough schedule, but they were horrible on all those tougher games they played against what they called the top quadrant, where they were like 1-11.
That's what I wanted to ask you, King. What are your thoughts on the UNC athletic director is the head of the selection committee? What are your thoughts there? Is there a conspiracy here? Because
I got to tell you this. I wouldn't say that. And I saw a thing where he said he wasn't even in the room when the selection was made. And I got to believe, you wouldn't throw a line like that out. You'd be called a filthy liar in front of the nation. I got to believe, no. It's just that they have this thing with, it's really tough to keep a North Carolina, a Kansas, or a, you know, certain blue blood teams out. It's just ridiculous though, that happened. Absolutely ridiculous. And it might've been the teams, were they in that same conference that, anyway, they did not belong anywhere near this tournament. That one just blew me away.
Yeah, what do you, what do you,
Here's the only thing about it, as far as keeping West Virginia out. If you're not the 64th team in, I mean, okay, I understand. You know, it's like, it's 64. It's not like college football where it used to be the top four and you had the pitching, or even the top eight. It's 64, you know?
Yeah.
North Carolina, they should have been down.
Yeah, what do you think, Jim? Do you believe the UNC AD said, oh, yeah, I recused myself from all these conversations. Do you believe that? Because it kind of sounds like a load of crap.
Yeah, it does in a sense. And I think people that know me really well would know I am not a conspiracy guy. But it does get tough to look at this. It's a tough resume to defend. I will say I was happy to see they got in because I think they're fun. And that's more what this is about. So, but yeah, I mean, it seemed odd, I would say. That's the nicest way I can put it.
Yeah, the obvious thing is he's the athletic director, so obviously he's going to want his own team in. But I think a conspiracy that probably makes more sense is North Carolina gets better ratings than West Virginia, so they chose him there. I think that might be probably more realistic there.
Well, and you got to watch out now too. If they win a couple of games, all the fans and the maybe the AD himself will come out and say, "See, we belong." But that's not actually, you know, that's not how it works. They'll be hoping for it for sure though.
And by the way,
I'm a little. Oh, go ahead.
By the way, what Jimmy was saying earlier about the injuries too, where you mentioned, Matt, too, they'll keep teams out with injury. I don't like that. You know, your body of work is your team the whole year. You've earned that right. You know, and I don't care if your guy's out. You deserve the seed that you earned, and I don't like that they go up and down. They do that. They've acknowledged that. You know, if a team's
absolutely, they even do it in football. That happened like at FSU, and they were left out a couple years ago. But let's just get into the bracket here. Enough on North Carolina. I'm really hoping I hope they don't even make the first round. I hope they're out in the first four. First question I wanted to ask you, Jim, is the seeding did not make any sense to me. If Auburn is their number one overall seed, why is that region? I mean, and maybe you have a different opinion on this. Why are they in the toughest region? That thing is a gauntlet, and they're supposed to be the number one overall seed.
Yeah, it is tough. And I think the hard part, and you can hear coaches talk about this before and after the tournament, is would you rather go to a location close to home and take a tougher road, or do you want to go far away from home and take the easy route? And I think Auburn falls into that first category. They get to play in the South region. I do think it's tough. I think Florida would maybe have an argument that they have as tough or maybe tougher region. But sure. Auburn's, I do think, is the most likely to completely blow up and end up with a weird team in the Final Four.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. Round two, if Louisville wins round one, that's a game in Kentucky. Louisville would have a home game round two against Auburn. It's just insane to me.
That happens, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I've seen games in Milwaukee, you know, where you might see Minnesota there. But it seems like the other team has just as many people. You know, I've seen instances of that. I think they give out the same amount of tickets to each school. And they seem to travel well, as long as it's not, L.A. to, out east or to the Midwest. You know, everyone else seems to travel. And I best atmosphere seeing these games. I mean, just awesome. I mean, you go to these and you go to an NBA game and it's like night and day. Oh, my God. I'd go to these every night if I could, you know. It's an incredible atmosphere. But back to your question.
Yeah, well, no, I actually had a kind of little side tangent here. But the Badgers, I was really pulling for them to get a Milwaukee game, you know, home game. They're going to be in Denver. You know, they're a 3 seed. Maybe they don't deserve it. But, King, I wanted to ask you, it doesn't seem like the committee gives – a damn about the Big Ten championship game. Why don't they factor that game in to the seeding at all? Michigan's a 5 seed and they won the champion. They won the tournament. They didn't care.
Jim, you want to take?
Oh, I was asking King. Sorry, King and Jim.
Oh,
Ryan.
I'll let Jimmy.
King, I was asking you. Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't get it.
It's been like that for the past couple of years, it seems, and you could have convinced me Michigan dropped a seed line for winning the tournament. You could have put them on the 4 or 3 line, and I think that would have been fair. To me, it doesn't make any sense. If you ask me which team that made the tournament got screwed, it's Michigan, because they not only did they end up on the five line, but they got a really tough draw also. So yeah, tough break for them for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited about UC San Diego, Mr. Anawamawa Tate Jones. I don't know. I'm trying to get his name in my head, but let me keep talking about a couple of the top teams here. Jim, are you concerned about Duke with the Cooper Flag injury at all?
I would say it's hard to say no, just because he's far and away the most valuable player in the tournament. But watching them win the ACC tournament without him, that could have been a boost for them, honestly, because it let local guy Con Knipple kind of take the lead for that team and show what he can do. And then if Cooper comes back at full health, I mean, they could be even better than when he got hurt. They're the most talented team in the country, I think. It's just going to come down to whether freshmen can kind of hold it together in crunch time. So no, I would say no. I'm not all that worried.
Okay, the King, are you worried about the number one overall pick potentially being out one or two games here?
No, and maybe being I'd say up? Same thing as Jim. Yeah. I watched how they proceeded without him, and I like that coach too. He's kind of grown on me, and I thought I'd seen him play as a young man. I got to look that back up. I was going to do that the other day.
John Shire. Well,
Shire is his name?
Or? Yeah, he played for Duke a handful of years.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I thought.
Was he good?
Yeah, he was a great shooter.
He was like a really good, I like to say, like gel player, really kind of fit in,
glue guy.
Yeah.
And I knew I remembered him. I think they'll be fine. I have a different take on who's going to win it all, and I think is the most talented, but. They're damn good. And like Jim said, if they hold it together, you got a lot of young kids there, and when it comes to crunch time, teams get into that. I will tell you this. What I always see what happens is it is the teams that take it by the throat. You want the assassin, the guy that wants to score. Usually it's guards. They'll take it. They take it at you. That's when you win tournament. You win tournament games, tight games. That's what I look for. But
yeah. Well, so we'll get into everyone's, Final Four and everyone's champion kind of at the end. But Jim, I wanted to ask you, and I think I know kind of the King's thoughts a little bit here, but they're not the team I'm picking to win it. But am I a fool for thinking St. John's can win the whole thing? I heard they can't shoot. How can you win it all then?
No, I don't think you're a fool. They're definitely a team that could get it done. I get a little bit antsy. Like DK said, I basically have a set of rules for teams that I pick to win it. And one of them is there has to be, I don't know what the language rules are on this podcast, but I'll call it a middle finger guard, where in crunch time, can you hand your guard the ball and say, go figure it out. And I don't know if St. John's has that, but they are probably one of the best defensive teams in the country. So certainly a reasonable pick.
Okay, sure. So you wouldn't classify Kadari Richmond as a fuck you guard? Did I get that right? Yeah. Is that it? Okay.
Yeah, you nailed it.
I owe a dollar to the F bomb.
We have a jar. We have a jar there, Jimmy. When you
just
swear,
for the,
you gotta put it in.
Only. Well, no, not for a swear. Just the F word. But I haven't been.
Dad only made him put that in because he was swearing too much on the kid.
I think Richmond's a great player. I don't know that he's the isolation guy that, shot clock's at 10 seconds. Can you give it to him and just go get a bucket? I think he's a great player, though. And yeah, St. John's is super good. It's just when teams come out of the woodwork like this, and maybe that's not the right way to put it, but sometimes it takes a year to really prove it. So like Sweet 16, Elite Eight, sure. I just find it hard to see them going the whole way here.
That would be all time.
I will chime in on that one. I think they can do a lot of damage. They're the only team, in my opinion, I swear to God, Jim, before the tournament came out, I told Matt the two teams I like were the Johnnies and Florida. I said right off is going to win this. But the only team I thought that could knock them off was the Johnnies. And I wanted those two meeting the Final Four at some point, or, both of them getting there. And sure enough, they get in the same region. I mean, I talked to them before that tournament pick. Here's the problem with the Johnnies. They can play with anyone. They've got a defense. You've got to hope the referees are allowing that physical style. That's what Patino does. He goes mugging early on. Even if they start getting the calls, you know, it establishes a looser rein by the refs to allow a little more physical play. So the second half, you can get away with that stuff. But here's their Achilles heel. They cannot shoot free throws, none of their guards. They shoot between 50 and 60% of guys that drive, that have the ball. And they're horrific free throw shooters. And they're not, if you watch them, they're not even like balls that go in where they hit one or two. Both are like just terrible shots. And they'll hit them every once, you know. But that is a huge problem at the end of games. Yeah. And if you're in tight games, I think they can do damage. I think they can knock. They're the only team, in my opinion, can knock Florida off. And I'm worried about them. But that'll be what decides it a lot, you know.
Matt, to answer the question another way, one cold shooting night is probably the death of them. Like one real bad night.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I feel like everyone's filling out their bracket, just kind of dreaming of that Florida St. John's matchup, because it would probably be such a entertaining game. What do you think would happen in a game like that, where you have one of the best defensive teams in the nation that doesn't necessarily rely on their shooting versus one of the best offenses in the nation that has shooters everywhere? How would that go?
Well, if it's specifically Florida, I think Florida would take care of them pretty easily. Florida has two of the middle finger guards on their roster, and they're a good defensive team. I think that would be advantage Florida.
But bingo!
There you
go. What was that D? Not the F word, the D word you used. Defense. Florida has a great defense, and they've got a third guard that goes. Yeah. You're not worried about even foul trouble, or that they've got guys that can penetrate, that know how to take care of the ball. Big thing against St. John's. You can't panic. You've got to be able to hold your composure, and you've got to be able to dribble through a lot of their mess. And you do that, you can frustrate them. And they shoot. They shoot, Florida. Good offensive team. They know how to get the ball. And they have size. It'll be a tough game, but that's the type of team, the only team I can see beating Florida. Not even Duke. I think Florida is the best team. All right, I'm jumping ahead. Go ahead.
That's your champion. That's all right. I got Florida going far away as well. I think sounds like Jimmy's got Florida in his Final Four as well. But I needed to ask you a homer question. I know you looks like you're a Rock Chalk Kansas Jayhawk fan. I'm a Wisconsin Badger fan, of course. Tell me, you know, convince me. The king has been trying on the phone the past 3 days, but try and convince me, why can't Wisconsin go on a run here? I feel like we've got the guys to do it.
They do have the guys. It's the first time I'd say this in probably 10 years since Frank Kaminsky was there, but they do have the guys this year. And you got John Tonji as the middle finger guy. No problems there. I think the big issue for Wisconsin is going to be their second round game. They have tough matchups regardless of who wins that one. They shouldn't struggle with Montana, and then it's BYU or VCU, and those are two different styles of play. But as you pointed out, Kansas in the background there, I watched a lot of Big 12 this year. BYU, when they're making shots, is damn near unbeatable. So that's a scary matchup for anybody, including Wisconsin. They get by them, though. I think they actually have a shot because they match up pretty well with Alabama. That's certainly not a walk in the park, but I think Wisconsin has the goods to get by them too, potentially. So
I want to jump in here about, I'm sorry, Jimmy.
I love to hear it. Jump in.
I told you this, Matt, this is why I'm dead. And Jimmy's right about it. They have the players. They don't have the coaching in that. I told you this. I have watched three games now. One of them was the Oregon game that they had so well in hand till they stood around at the end. And this happens, and we were talking about this. This will happen in these NCAA games. You get to the end, and they don't have – you can't just give it to Kanji. He's not that guy. That, you know, he's a guy that could go off and do some things, but you got to have – it's something different. They did it the other day against Michigan, the same thing. So many times we're trying to get a basket at the end, working the ball around, no one taking the shot, no one stepping up. You've got to have that. And they're really poor and they're not well coached in those situations. I'm not putting guard down for the rest. The team's been terrific. This is one of their better teams I've seen in a while. I will tell you this. It comes down to crunch time. That's not the team that you want. They will lose. You saw Michigan win that, and they did everything they could to give that away. I really don't like them at the end of games, and they're going to be in crunch time, whether it's VCU or BYU. Don't put BYU in that win column automatically in their first game. VCU was decent club, and past that, I don't like the, I don't like really a lot of people in that region right there. I'm not a huge Alabama, supporter either. But,
well, hey, if you didn't like us in crunch time, you must have not watched the Michigan State game when we had two blocks in the final 10 seconds. I don't know. We're going to have to agree to disagree on Wisconsin. I understand the guard point. You could probably find old clips of me on this podcast.
I was pulling my hair out saying, I mean, it went on for 5 minutes around. Now we got 5 seconds left. Let's try.
But you're talking about the Michigan game, right? That's a game where we had played four games in a row.
I know, but I also saw them do the same thing against Oregon, and
yes, you're picking the two games we collapsed.
There's some things lacking there.
You found two perfect examples of why we're bad, but you didn't say anything about the Michigan State game where we beat them, fair and square. It wasn't because we were chucking up threes. We beat them in all three phases, but we don't need to talk all day about Wisconsin. I'm going to go to Jim here. Give the king a chance to cool off here. What are some teams you're worried about getting upset at round one? I think you might have alluded to one over in Ann Arbor earlier.
Yeah. Michigan is the top of the list there, I'd say. Just bad matchup, I think, overall.
Sure.
I'm drawing a blank on who Utah State played. I think it's UCLA, but
I think
UCLA, you can put them on upset watch for sure. Those two really stick out to me as teams that could fall to the mid-major right away here.
Yeah, I think Michigan is going to have some trouble with Anawanawa Tate Jones. I think I said that right. The man from New Zealand. That was a... Wasn't UC San Diego, weren't they a D2 team last year?
Yeah, this is their first year being eligible, I think. And yeah, this, I don't know how to say his name either, but maybe you did it right. I'm not sure. But he,
Anawanawa.
He's getting like 20 a game, right?
Yeah, no, he's a stud. He's a stud. I don't know. Maybe I was just pissed off, that Michigan beat my team in the Big Ten championship, but I just started looking up highlights. I'm just trying to find a reason that UC San Diego is going to beat them. But then, you check KenPom, their stats are, it backs it up. Michigan is definitely on upset watch. And like you said, UCLA King, who do you got on upset watch?
BYU right off the bat. BYU can win that game.
I like that.
And I had a couple others here. I'm just trying to scratch where they are here. The Creighton-Louisville game, I don't know why Creighton is getting points in that game. I think they're going to win that game. That's a toss-up.
There's actually a 12-5 game, I believe, where the 12 is favored. I think Vegas has the Colorado State, I don't know the mascot, State favored over Memphis. What do you think about that one, Jim?
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with, like I said, Tyrese Hunter of Memphis was literally standing in a walking boot on the bench.
Right.
So, but that doesn't affect their seating, just somebody else, right? Colorado State is very good. They've won what's like 500,000 games in a row or something. But they got a guy that's been really good down the stretch here. I don't know about favoring them, but that's going to be a really popular pick for sure.
About Arkansas, Kansas, Jimmy. I picked Arkansas.
And Jimmy, let me start here. I'm picking Arkansas. I don't think Arkansas has looked great this year, but I John Calipari, biggest name in college hoops. I think he gets the upset here against your Jayhawks, but
Let me first say this. When you're a 7 seed, you don't get to complain about your draw. It is what it is. I'm used to things being a little different.
Tough draw, though.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm not all that afraid of John Calipari. I think he's a bit washed, as they say. And Bill Self's had a really good history against Cal. So I don't hate the matchup. Doesn't mean they're going to win. I'm picking Kansas. And I think whoever wins that game is going to probably get steamrolled by St. John's. So yeah. My season starts, or this tournament starts and ends for me on Thursday. So it'll be a fun game to watch. We'll be moving along.
You don't anticipate winning.
I don't anticipate beating St. John's in round two. That's for sure. I think they can, I think they can beat Arkansas.
Right. St. John's can be beat. You know, I mean,
I don't hate the draw for Kansas in that regard, where St. John's will slow the game down and try to grind it out. That's pretty much all Kansas is good at these days, is throwing a 7-2 guy out there to throw jump hooks up at the rim. So if the game plays slow, they got a shot. But
they have no studs this year? I haven't followed them.
Hunter Dickinson, the guy who transferred from Michigan. They got a bunch of role players around him. We did steal AJ Storr for all the bad fans.
I was going to ask you about him.
He sucks.
He's not been playing much, I don't think.
Don't sugarcoat it, Jimmy.
Yeah, I feel bad saying that, but he's been essentially useless outside of maybe two or three games. So
yeah, my dad told me, he's like, oh, he had 19 points in this one game. And then he checks the next game. He's like, he played 2 minutes the game after. Yeah. So
I'm not kidding. He's got like the yips or something. There were two games in a row where Dickinson would throw him a full court pass and Storr just dropped it out of bounds. And he just kind of looked confused. Like he's got nothing left. He left all his talent in Madison.
Dang. Huh. Well, I hope he figures it out one day, because last year in Madison, he was looking like an NBA player, but now he can't really, he's trying to crack the, you know, 8-man rotation at this point. Back to you, King. Did you look through the bracket? Did you find any other upsets, or was it just the VCU one? You're playing it safe, rock chalk.
Well, I'm taking Creighton. They're getting a couple of points.
8-9, that's not a fun upset. No one cares about that.
my friend, I'm gonna mention this. My friend, I go to for college basketball upsets, and he's very good at it. He likes Yale to upset A&M, and I don't see it. A&M is tough. Yale is too. But
I was tempted, but I didn't do it. Yeah.
No.
And I did pick UC San Diego. A&M to go
do a little bit of damage up there.
So who's the highest seed you got winning a game? Is it the 11 VCU?
VCU probably. Let's see. I had a couple of others too.
All right. Well,
that'll do it. I'll stick there.
All right. So here, let me ask you this, Jimmy. When you're filling out your bracket,
Drake is one I took.
Okay, there you go.
Yes, I took Drake to upset Missouri.
And that's
like a 6 or 7 point. That's probably my biggest upset of the first round.
That's an 11-6 as well. Yeah. Jim, let me ask you this. When you're filling out your bracket, do you go rock chalk, play it safe, and, you know, take a lot of, you know, don't do a lot of upsets and, you know, try to win the pool? Because what I do is I try to pick a perfect bracket. Obviously, it's never been done. It never will be done. But I always try to pick a perfect bracket. So I always make sure to have, you know, 5 to 7 upsets or, you know, whatever. Well, how do you play it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you got to aim for the perfect bracket, right? So, I usually have my core teams that I really trust and believe in going into it, and they'll usually find their way to the end. But I usually like to try to, you know, everybody picks their bracket and they're overthinking it. I usually try to find a region that's going to explode and end up with something crazy happening in the end. But typically I go into it with a handful of teams I really like and a couple of mid majors that I believe in. And they're usually, putting pen to the next round right away. So,
yeah, I had to ask you that because I know how the King plays it. The King, the 12 is probably as high as he'll go for an upset, but like, I feel like the highest upset is usually like a 13, 14, 15. Yeah. We've had some 16. So I don't know. I'm trying to find the highest seed I have went in is High Point. I like High Point against Purdue because they got a guy. I just like the guy's name. His name is Jocelyn Bodo. He's a 7-footer and he can block shots. But that's the highest seed I have went in. So I don't know.
I'm not going to pretend to be a High Point expert, but they can really score. And they do have a transfer from Kansas a couple of years ago named Bobby Pettiford. So I am familiar with them. I don't think that's a bad pick. I didn't do it myself, but I think it's possible if they get it in a track meet.
Okay.
I, I will tell you though, any of these pools, I when I was younger, man, you know, I might have picked a lot more upsets. I don't pick, you know, quantity wise a lot, you know, but I found that you want to just stay in the regular flow, you know, just be close with everyone else. The people
you want to win.
This, and I've won these pools. We were telling you, I've won three or four of them in my lifetime. And you win them by having the final team.
I know.
And usually a favorite versus the final team. And I had Villanova over Michigan. No one had Michigan in that final game. That's how I won. They weight these things too unevenly.
I know.
All of these pools are compounded. It's ridiculous. One year I won. I had a terrible year, but I had Duke over Connecticut, or Connecticut over Duke. I was living in Connecticut. Still in the habit. And I had a horrible pool. I'm just telling you, you want to stay close on those. The best pool that I ever won, and Jim, I'm bringing this up, Walter Wong's Limehouse, 1983. The year that Jim Valvano won with that miracle.
Yeah.
My partner and I, the late, great John McNaney, he was my college roommate for a year, and he and I would each pick, and we'd combine them, and if either won, we'd win. We went down, and we put this in. Al McGuire used to eat lunch there. Everybody knew this place, 120th of Blue Mountain. Great Chinese restaurant. Everybody in town was in this pool. And McNaney picks 15 of 16 games on one of the first 2 days. And then maybe he missed the next day like three games. Mm-hmm. He had three losses or four losses after the whole first round. And we led by like three picks. And every pick was worth 1 point. The final game of the tournament? The first round. And that's how all these pools should be. Somebody like you, Jim, would probably do well in these. But no, you wouldn't get anybody playing them. But in those days, this one was so popular. And we had a lead. And we had, I can't remember, we didn't have Louisville. Everybody had Louisville. And everybody had Houston. And NC State upset everybody. And that put that helped us. Everybody wiped out. Nobody could gain points on us. And we won this thing. It was over $2,000. And we were 19-year-old kids. No, we were 22. It was awesome. It was awesome. But that's how the pools should be. But the way they are now, you want to make sure you have your teams and try and pick that team they play. Mm-hmm. I had another one I won where Texas A&M got to the final game.
That's the difference between me and you, King. You want to win. I want the perfect bracket. I want to be the first person to pick the perfect bracket, even though I'm more likely to getting struck by lightning five times. Let's move on. I was wondering, would you guys like to do a new segment presented by no one?
Go ahead. I like the sponsor. He sponsored my fan show.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe one day. So this new segment is called Cinderella. So pretty simple here. What teams can you see going on a Cinderella run? The King, let's start with you. Who's your Cinderella? I will not accept any five or six seeds, seven seeds, and maybe a six.
If you give me a five seed
as your Cinderella, I'm not going to be happy.
No, that's not, okay. Not I'm going to put BC, run. VCU, is not Virginia VCU. Commonwealth.
Okay.
They're an 11 seed. If you're looking for a long one, and they could be out in the first round, but I'm telling you, they could do damage there. I think Wisconsin's beatable. I think BYU's beatable, and Alabama's no world beater in my mind. And
you think VCU could win three games? You think they could? You think VCU could go toe to toe with Bama as well?
They could also be out. But you took away the other one. I would have said,
you were going to say a five seed as your Cinderella?
Yeah, I won't. Ooh, who's that? The other one I'd say is Illinois or Maryland would be the other two.
Okay, that's
– They're very capable. Those teams get hot. Maryland, put Maryland in there for me. I think they're a five, right?
We will not accept Maryland as an answer. Illinois, we'll give you Illinois because if Illinois made the Final Four, that'd be a little shocking. But Maryland was they barely lost to the Big Ten championship on a buzz. Maryland's a great team. That ain't no Cinderella.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying they're not upper echelon.
Right, and right.
Illinois on certain nights. Illinois, I can't see them go far. Certain nights, they're unbelievable. You remember last year? I mean, how hot they got. They were good last year, the whole year. But, they play certain nights. It's like, what team is this? Holy,
Well, let's throw it back to Schwa. I feel like I haven't heard from him in a second. What are some teams you can see going on a Cinderella run here?
Yeah, I talked briefly. I mentioned Utah State and I mentioned UC San Diego, but I don't see more than one or maybe two wins for them. So one I'll give you, and I realize this could really backfire on me, but I think Creighton has a chance to make a deep run, because if they can get past Louisville and essentially a home game for Louisville, I think they match up really well with Auburn.
Okay.
Creighton's got like a 7-3 center who can cause problems for Auburn's bigs. And if they just have a good shooting night, I think they can maybe pull that upset. And then if you're an 8 seed and you get past the 1, the bracket really opens up from there. So I think Creighton is a dark horse team to make a run to maybe the Elite Eight, something like
yeah.
that.
No kidding.
That's a good call. That's a good call, because I think they're going to win that opening game. And I didn't look ahead to the matchup with but I'll tell you, to actually make a run, the only one I would put up there, and but they're too low, is Maryland. That's
not a Cinderella again.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so you're right. I didn't look in and do it the right way. And no, the other ones, I say, like breaking that, they can pull some upsets. They can't. I don't think they can.
I know it's hard to predict the Cinderella, but I feel like every year the past 20 years, there's been a double digit seed, you know, that goes to the Sweet 16. So that's kind of the team.
A&M's a 4. You're right.
You know, eight or a nine upset in a 1. That's the same thing. But yeah, Auburn.
The other one we're all dreading is North Carolina, right?
Yeah, we're all trying to not. Yeah, they don't deserve to be in it, so we're all just picking them to lose. I think that's what's happening. I didn't pick them in my bracket.
Let's get to the nitty gritty here. I want to hear what you losers have before I present to our listeners the Golden Four.
Yeah, I had one more question for Schwai. Then let's do our final four.
Right.
Schwai, who's the most overrated team in the nation right now?
Well, that's a tough question to answer. I have an answer, but overrated.
In your opinion, yeah.
Yeah, you have to be good. So I do think this team is good, but a team that I would essentially have called a fraud since maybe December is Tennessee. I think when they play their best, they are good, but they have got not a lot of shooting. Their bad days, they can be beat by anybody. One of my rules is good coaching. I don't think they have it. There's not many guys who can have Kevin Durant on a roster and lose in the second round of a tournament, but that's what Rick Barnes did. So I have no faith in Tennessee making much more than a Sweet 16 run.
All right. Fair enough. Well, let's get to it. Jim, give me your final four and give me your champion.
Sure. Up in the top region there, I have Michigan State coming out of there. Probably can tell based on my Creighton pick that Auburn doesn't get very far here. And I think Michigan State's the best team remaining there. Mm-hmm. The one below that, I have the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Pretty big fan of that team. Athletic big in the middle named JT Toppin, surrounded by shooters. Then up top, on the other side, I have Duke. Just believe in the talent a little too much. And then I have the Houston Cougars as the fourth team. And then I would take Michigan State to beat Texas Tech, and I'd have the Cougars advancing to the championship. And I will put a big H on my bracket. I have Houston winning the whole thing.
What do you know, Jim? You and I have two of the same. I have Michigan State and Houston. And I have this thing. I have a Pottawatomie bet slip, Houston plus what are the odds on this? Plus whatever, $50 to win $375. So I agree.
What's the date
I love,
on that ticket?
I love the Houston. This ticket was actually, this was April 9th. So this was before the brackets came out. I put this in. Yeah. I put this in before the Big 12 tournament finished.
Wow.
So I love to hear it. It's great confirmation bias. Let's hear what the king is going to be very vehement about here.
Well, I will tell you guys, I got to look at my, I haven't handed my sheets in yet, but you guys are so high on Houston. And I love Kelvin Sampson, and I love the way they play. They always seem to get picked off, and I really don't have a reason why. They're always in tight game, and it's just down to the end. I got to look at that again, but I did not pick them. I will tell you that I picked Tennessee, who you loudly announced. I love them for the defense, but you are right about Barnes. Some games, it's, you know, they're not a great shooting team, but he is a good coach. Don't downplay him because, yes, he's, I mean, you see some of that stuff where they didn't perform as well as they should, but he gets them there, and he's gotten teams that were lesser there. They always play good defense, and I'm taking them out of that corner. Duke and the other one. I just think they're the best team up there. I think it's the Duke Invitational up there. There's nobody that can play with them in that division. What did you pick there, Jim?
I had Duke, yeah.
Oh, you had Duke. Yes,
Duke,
you did.
Duke has a nice
you
road.
You did too, Matt?
I may have went full Homer. I took Wisconsin.
Oh, God. Good God, no.
Okay. I took Wisconsin.
I'll be rooting for Wisconsin, but yeah, I just
doesn't
can't
seem like it.
In the other one, I would love to hear that you said Michigan State, because one of my two sheets, I picked Michigan State. The other one, I picked A&M. A&M's tough. I do not like Auburn. I'm shading Auburn. I have them. I hope Creighton knocks them off. I have them getting through that game, but then getting knocked off by A&M. So
who do we got? Michigan State and Duke?
Michigan State, Duke, Tennessee, and Florida. And I think Florida's going to easily wipe the floor with Michigan State. I don't think Michigan State can play with them. And I don't think Duke can play with them. And that'll be the final. 76-72, I got it. Only that I needed points, a total 148. I think they asked you for a score, but actually points. I should have just put in the total.
Florida winning it all, though. I like that pick as well. I got a Houston over Florida in the championship, but I don't know. I think March Madness, the great thing about it is that no one knows, you know, and we can be sitting here in a couple weeks laughing at the king, or, you know, the king will be saying, I told you so, like he's, you know, kind of saying
like
right
I
now
did,
before he even has any
as
evidence.
I did in football when I told you there'd be two final teams. I said Kansas City, because they were going to have a home game, they'd be an easy favorite, and it'd be tough, even though I was rooting for Buffalo. I said it'd be tough for anyone to go in there and win. And the other team I told you was the most talented, Philadelphia. I didn't call the Super Bowl, though. I didn't. I couldn't pick a game. I thought it'd be a tight game. I was off. Yeah. But I'm giving you here. I'm telling you, Florida's the most talented. The guard play. Look for these assassins that know and can play smart and that want the ball. And they've got three of them.
Yeah.
You know, if they're built to win this thing. And we'll see from there. I don't know. And Duke guys are too easy. They cannot not get to the Final Four, unless the Badgers come up. Shock me, but I think
we match up decently against Duke. You know, I don't know. I'm only saying that.
I want to hear what Jim says
probably
about that. What do you think about the Badgers? I know you
about the Badgers with Duke.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody matches up real well with Duke, but. I don't know. I mean, the Wisconsin's got some guys that can score. I think they're better equipped to make a run this year than years past. But, man, I don't know. I don't know what they'd be doing with Cooper Flagg. That would be a tough one to figure out.
Yeah, well, triple him, maybe?
Yeah.
No, you can't. I don't think you can do that.
That's a start.
Well, hey, guys, thanks so much for pulling up to the podcast. Appreciate you always for coming on, the king. You're starting to take over my show. We're gonna have to make a new one just you at some point here.
Well, that's coming, and I will tell the listeners not to divert any, but Matt is helping me set up a new podcast, The King and His Court. And once I get that up, my wife's going to – well, I may be divorced.
I sure hope not.
No, I'm kidding. She loves it. So, so look for that. But we'll see. This was good today. Thank you, Jimmy. It was great having your opinions on today.
Yeah, happy to be here, guys.
Yeah, so it's really exciting, King. But yeah, I just got one last question for you, Jim. And thanks again for pulling up the Schwei, I guess you will be known on the title here. However we say it, Schweitzer, is that how you say it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
All right, I got it. Well, last question's for you, Jim. Thanks for coming. What's your all-time favorite sports moment? And maybe we could go basketball in particular here, college basketball. You know, what comes to mind? You know, if you can't pick one, give me a couple.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a couple. I'm lucky to be a fan of a team that's had some success. But if I'm thinking of one specific moment that really, really gets me every time I see the clip, I would go all the way back to 2008. They would call it Chalmers for the tie. And he's coming all the way back from, I think it was 9 down in 2 minutes, and maybe the most clutch shooter in Kansas basketball history got his hands on the ball and made a shot to send it to overtime. And that will always stay with me as a fan.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Mario Chalmers, Miami Heat
Mario
legend.
Chalmers.
And
won a couple titles with LeBron.
But Memphis missing free throws. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I won't dwell on that. They just – who guys missed – oh, God. One.
Some guy named Derrick Rose missed a couple.
Anyway, I won't dwell on that. Big Steel Jim's magical moment. But I will tell you a magical moment. 1977, I am 17 years old. My family, 7 kids, 6 of us are sitting around a black and white TV, and my parents, my oldest sister, 2 years older than me, is the first in our family to go to college, and she's at Marquette, and she is in the band, and it's 1977, and as a freshman, we're watching on a Monday night where they win the championship over North Carolina. Now, you guys don't remember this, but if you ever see a replay of that game, in those days, teams stalled. Do you know that? They would stall, and North Carolina would do it for 10, 12 minutes of a game. That means
insane.
They'd go to the four corners and pass around and stall and delay the game.
No shot clock.
There was no shot clock. There was no three-point shot. And they were down, the North Carolina. They had a great team. Michael Corrin, they had Jones, and who was the guard? I can't remember his name. He was fabulous. But anyway, Phil Ford. Yeah. But they were down the whole game, and into the second half with about 10 minutes left, they got the lead by a point, and they went to the four corners. And like Al McGuire would say later, it was a huge mistake. And he made very few mistakes. Dean, can't even think of his name? Dean? Yeah. Well, anyway, they went to the four corners, and it slowed the momentum. And slowly, the Warriors came back and won. But we're a family sitting, and we were like, they're going to win. This Marquette team is going to win the national championship. And McGuire, it was his last game. There was no greater moment, in my opinion, more anticlimactic thing than that game. And they took it down to the wire, and they won it, a tight one. There was a fight late where Bernard Toon lost his cool. And
yeah,
just if you ever get a chance to see that game, it was quite an interesting game. I mean, you know, Butch Lee and all those guys, and they won. And we were tingling, and my sister, I remember, she sent me a jersey. I wear it to football practice. I would say Marquette 77 on it. It was like, oh my God, where'd you get that jersey? Guys would add. I said, my sister goes there. Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope we get a lot of games like that.
What about you, Matt?
In March Madness.
What about you?
What's my favorite?
Yes, give us a spine tingler.
It's got to be a college basketball moment.
Well, it'd be apropos for the show, but
would make sense.
Not,
would
give
make
us something
sense.
Else.
Well, I was gonna say LeBron's block probably for the other one, but no, college basketball. It's got to be Bronson Koenig hitting a three at the buzzer. Wisconsin native. Maybe not native, but lived in Wisconsin at the time. Brian Anderson on the call. Koenig hits the shot, and the camera cuts to Bill Murray crying. It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. Bill Murray just being sad wearing a Xavier hat was just the cherry on top. That's got to be my all-time favorite. If not that, Ben Brust half-court shot at the buzzer to tie a game. Is right there, but that Koenig moment is unforgettable for sure.
I thought you might say the Florida Wisconsin game, which Florida won, but it was great. That was one of the greatest games. I was in Vegas for that.
Why would I say that? Chris Chioza hit a running three on us at the buzzer. That's
one
I'm trying to block out of the memory.
I ever saw.
That's something I'd get like to get surgery to remove that part of my brain to forget that. Thanks again so much, guys.
Yeah.
Really appreciate you being there. King will be back, and Jim, I hope you're back. I loved talking college basketball for you. It was nice to meet you. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
My pleasure, Matt. Always. Okay.
It was awesome. All right. Well, yeah, good luck in the tournament. Good luck against John Calipari, and good luck on those brackets. Go Wisconsin, go Houston. Right.
Okay.
All right. I'll see you guys. Thanks again to the King. Thanks again, Jimmy. Really appreciate y'all. It was nice to meet you, Jimmy. Schweitzer, whatever I'm calling you. I'm recording this before, but I'm sure it was great. Really appreciate it. And yeah, let's do it again sometime. Let's finish out the show here, though. Let's get to our goosebump moments of the week. Starting it off at number 10, we got a little bit of a homer pick, but I think it's worth a number 10 spot. We got the Wisconsin Badgers, John Tanjay, with a block at the death as they defeat Michigan State.
All Big Ten. It rolls out. The door is open for Michigan State. 3 seconds. Fires. No call.
He got fouled.
It's over. Wisconsin has done it.
Wow.
They're going back to the Big Ten Tournament Championship game.
Number 9, why is it always Jamal Murray hitting a clutch shot on my Lakers? It's always him.
Murray for 3. Yes! Oh, yes!
Jordan Poole at number 8 hits a deep 3 to upset the Nuggets.
Deep 3. Flotation devices are required in Denver as Jordan Poole, game winner in the Mile High City.
Number 7, Sean Padula hits a pull-up tray to push Ole Miss past Arkansas.
Padula, ball game! Sean Padula hits the 3.
Number 6, Nate Johnson sends Akron dancing on a Euro step for the win.
5 seconds to
what?
Go. Here's Johnson at the rim. He wins it. 2.3 to go. Here's Ipsaro. No good. Nate Johnson, the hero. Akron is dancing again.
Number 5, Otega Owe goes baseline and hits a tough lane to win it for Kentucky.
He's going. He drives. He puts it.
Number 4, Mara Dykstra puts back her own miss at the buzzer to win it for Montana State.
Herself, Dykstra with the miss and the putback, and Dykstra wins the ball game.
Number 3, Trey Donaldson goes coast to coast and leaves no time as Michigan wins a thriller.
2 seconds, Donaldson at the buzzer. He wins it.
1 second left, less than one.
You can't let him get it back.
You called it, Raf.
Trey Donaldson goes end-to-end to put Michigan in front.
Number 2, Chucky Hepburn with one of the most nonchalant buzzer beaters ever.
Missed it. Rebound on Park.
No!
Hepburn!
No!
He hit it!
No!
He hit it!
Number 1 moment of the week, Mikal Bridges with a double bang at the buzzer. Enough said.
Inbound. Knicks break. Hart gets it right back to Bridges. Bridges puts up a 3. Bang! Bang! Mikal Bridges wins it at the buzzer. What a finish!
Awesome goosebump moments of the week this week. That how can you get better than a Mike Breen double bang? What a shot from Mikal Bridges. I love that Chucky Hepburn shot. He's just standing there. Chucky's just standing there. Ball pops right in his hand. He hits the easy, not an easy shot, but he hits the mid-range shot from the elbow. That someone might investigate the announcer of that game, because one of the announcers, when Chucky hit that buzzer beater, just screamed, no, no. So he clearly had money on Stanford or something, but who knows? But yeah, well, let's finish out the show with my final four picks. We'll see. I might, you know, maybe I'll change my bracket around after the interview that y'all just watched that I'm about to record. Timelines are confusing, but I'll do my final four picks. Last year, I picked the entire bracket. I don't think anyone wants to see that again. It took way too long, and there's so many games. So I'm just going to give you my top four. I have a note here that says, fuck it, find your conference tourney record. That's a dollar to the F-bomb jar. I'm out of dollars, but I will put a post-it note in there. Every time I say the F-word, we go in the F-bomb jar. But yeah, my conference tourney record, I picked all 31 conference tournaments. Didn't have great reasoning for a lot of them. I went 7-24. So, you know, maybe a little more research I would have benefited from. But that's what I went. I went 7-24, had a different, probably used a different criteria, different reason for each W there, for each, you know, conference tourney winner I picked. 7-24, not great. So keep that in mind. If you plan on, you know, putting any credence into my picks, just, you know, keep in mind I'm not the best picker here. I'm not the best bettor. So follow my picks at your own risk, but I'll just get into it. My final four in the region of death, the gauntlet that I think it is, I'm going to go with Michigan State, Big Ten, Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo is March. That's all I got to say. I don't know. Auburn's good, but Michigan State is better. There will be a homer pick in the other region, on the other side of the bracket. I'm going to go with Wisconsin. I'm going to take my own team, my own Wisconsin Badgers. I was going to read like a little copypasta that Nemo sent me. It was basically Love Sosa, but mixed in with different Badgers players as the lyrics. But I looked through the copypasta. There were 7 F-bombs in there, so it would have cost me $7 in the F-bomb jar to even read that. So I won't, but, you know, everyone's... People in the barbershop are talking about how Tanjay ain't no hitter, but he is. Tanjay should be not player of the year, but he's in the conversation. I'm sure I had a spirited debate with the king about him. John Blackwell's amazing. The Johns, we got glue guys. We got Gilly. You know, Stephen Crowell's super underrated. So was Klesman. I don't know. It's a homer pick. You know, we got to beat some good teams. We got to beat Money Williams and Montana round one. We should win that, but BYU, VCU would be tough. We're in the same region as Duke and Bama. This is maybe a horrible pick. Maybe I'm jinxing it. I'll knock on wood. But give me the Wisconsin Badgers to go to the Final Four. The third team I got, Houston. I'm going with Houston, and I kind of boxed myself in here because I went to Pottawatomie the other night, and before the brackets were even released, before the Big 12 tournament even finished, I went and I put 50 big ones, not big ones, $50 on Houston to win it. I still don't know if showing my bet slip on YouTube is stupid. Can anyone steal that? Only one way to find out, but, you know, you wouldn't win that much money. And, you know, Houston, they're not guaranteed to win it. They are one seed, so they got a good chance. But, yeah, feeling a little sketchy about it after, you know, I didn't know the extent of Juwan Roberts' injury. He could miss a number of games in the tournament. And, yeah, I'll be worried about them against Gonzaga if they don't have Juwan Roberts out there. But I'm going with my heart. I think this is the year. I think this is Houston's year. I gotta go with my gut, and my gut told me at Pottawatomie to bet on Houston. So I'm gonna put them in the Final Four. My last team, I think, probably makes most people's Final Fours if they don't put St. John's in. But I'm going Florida, just probably the best offensive team in the nation. They steamrolled the SEC tournament, and the SEC is a gauntlet. They have 14 teams in the tourney, more than any other conference, and Florida won every game with ease. They blew them out, so Florida's an easy pick for the Final Four. In the championship, I'm not going to have, you know, I did put 2 Big Ten teams in the Final Four, which is, you know, a Big Ten bias, a Badger bias, but neither of them I have making the championship game. I have Houston winning in the championship game over the Florida Gators. You know, I was surprised to go back in the archives and find out that Houston has never won a national title in basketball. But that means there isn't even a reference here I can use to create some corny catchphrase to end the show with. So I'll just create a new one that Houston fans will be repeating for decades. We're going to party like it's 2025.